This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
From NPR Music, I'm Felix Contreras.
I'm Ana Maria Sayer. Let the chisme begin.
Hey, Ana, you're still in Mexico City. I have to say I'm a little jealous.
I mean, that is why you keep me around, Felix, so that you can live vicariously.
Yeah, that is for sure.
Joys of my youthful life. Although I will say, I think you have a more active social life than I do.
I don't know about that, man.
I mean, there's just such an incredible diversity to the sounds here. I mean, you can literally find anything, jazz clubs, DJ sets, like whatever you want. And R&B, Mexico City, who do we immediately think of? But alt Latino fave.
Girl Ultra.
Who I got to sit down with. She is one of my favorite people. She is so funny, Felix. Like, you get how she's a creative in her expression because she's an R&B artist, but also R&B is just scratching the surface for her. She's really done all kinds of experimentation with all kinds of sounds, which is really, really exciting to see the ways that she's continuing to do that.
She's definitely one of the new voices to watch coming out of Mexico City.
She hasn't been on the scene for that long, but she's released 3 albums at this point, and I know she's actively working on another one. She has really pushed herself sonically, especially for someone who came up in the DJ scene here. I got to see her actually go back to her roots, DJ the other night, and I gotta say it was different from what we saw from her Tiny Desk performance, but it was something really special all the same.
I think people are really going to enjoy this interview because you guys met in a very public place, and what was fun was hearing some of the neighborhood noise in this interview.
We met in the south side of the city in what has become one of my favorite neighborhoods, Coyoacán, and it was really special to sit with her there because her last album actually was called El Sur, literally named after the south side of the city, and really was an homage to the space that she grew up in. Mariana, Girl Ultra, thank you for being here on the show. This is very exciting.
Thank you, Ana Maria.
It's very, very exciting to be here with you in Mexico. Like, kind of surreal, I think. and specifically, can you tell me where we are, why we're here?
Well, this is a very special place to me. And the reason I picked it is because I grew up here. My aunt used to work here. This is like this like cultural house, mm-hmm. where there used to be like a lot of activities, like art, like I don't know how to say, talleres,
yeah, like workshops,
like workshops, yeah. Like a lot of workshops, and I used to come and dance ballet here, mm-hmm. and I don't know, it's a beautiful garden in the heart of Coyoacán, mm-hmm. and I like it. I wanted to show it to you.
Yeah, and this is somewhere you've been coming a long time. You grew up close to here, or?
Yes, I used to live like 10 minutes away from here, and all my friends, I used to hang in Coyoacán, and I took a lot of workshops around here, so I don't know, it's been pretty nice to, even though I don't live like nearby anymore, to come here and see like the past versions of myself here and there, and just like grab a book and grab a coffee here, mm-hmm. you know?
So when you were coming here, you weren't doing music here, you were more doing like dance, other art. Forms.
Yeah, I was very young. I also paint since I was like younger.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you still paint? What kind of things do you paint?
I do, but I don't share like my graphic works
just
that
for
much.
You.
It's for me and I give them away. Mm-hmm. But I come from a family of painters. Like my whole dad's
really?
Side, they are dentists and also painters. All of them.
What a perfect combination.
I know. Like they have like the raw sensibility of being a dentist and seeing mm-hmm. people suffering and then turn it into painting.
Those feel like the most contradictory.
I know, right?
But I don't know. Do they to you? Maybe that's, it makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense because I grew up with that. Like yeah. The only one that was like actually a painter, it was my great granddad. Mm-hmm. And he was a painter like in Spain. Mm-hmm. And he brought like all his family to Mexico. That was his profession. Mm. And then I don't know why all his like offspring wanted to be dentists. It was kind of popular in the 80s and in the 70s to be a dentist in Mexico City, like to study in like the La Universidad de la UNAM. Uh-huh. So I think it was like the popular career in that time. Yeah.
So I just got here to the city, as I was telling you, and I feel like I've just been trying to ask everyone about the music scene here and what feels different and special about it. And a lot of people, I feel like, keep telling me that this is like the most diverse musical scene you can find. They're like, there's just about every single type of music here in the city, in Mexico at large. They're like, when you're a kid, you just grow up listening to everything, and it's just totally different here. Does that feel accurate to you? Is that what your experience was?
It does, but I feel a certain like appeal from Mexican people, specifically from my city, Mexico City, to rock music. Rock en español, rock argentino. Like when I walk around, I overhear like Caifanes or even The Cure. This city loves The Cure. Mm-hmm. And all of that like era from like shoegazy, mm-hmm. rock, goth. And it's very interesting to see like how it evolves over time and it passes from generation to generation. We're a pretty dark like city. I don't know how to say that, even though it's so bright and even though a lot of things are happening and it's colorful, yeah. But I don't know, we like darker music.
Music, interesting. Why do you think that is?
It's a city that struggles and is in every like aspect, but at the same time it just like the foundation is so strong that it just like refreshes every other time, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's crazy. It's just like it's got so many things going on, like a lot of like micro universes within.
Yeah.
That so many layers.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can say. This city's got so many layers.
When talking about the diversity of the music here, do you feel like that is kind of like has to do with areas as well in the city, with geography, or is it just everything's mixed up everywhere?
I feel like everything's mixed up.
Yeah.
As a girl that was growing up and discovering music, something that made me understand like all of these like niche, like musical niche, mm-hmm. was the radio. Mm-hmm. Like Mexico still's got like a very like active radio station still. my favorite radio station in Mexico is called Amor 95.3 that only plays música romántica, like romantic music, but like the hits from like the 80s and 90s, and they just play that every single day. And it's always like in every hospital that you go, people are still listening to that radio station. So, or even like taxi drivers, they listen to 88.1 and it's like all classic, like that rock. And in English, just in English. So how music is divided and all like people's tastes in Mexico City, I think they're driven from a long time from like radio stations.
What are your favorite songs from that era, those romanticas?
Romanticas? Oh my God, so hard. But one of my favorite songs, not only from that era, like all-time favorite, is Quiero Dormir Cansado de Emmanuel. It's such a sad song. I love sad songs.
I love sad songs too.
They kind of turn me on. I'm so sad that I feel kind of horny.
Quiero dormir cansado para no pensar en ti. Quiero dormir profundamente y no despertar llorando con la pena de no verte.
When did you find music? What was your musical upbringing? I know your dad was a rockero, but you're also talking about listening, you know, you hear the romanticas and the taxis. Like, what was your kind of collage of music growing up?
It was pretty diverse. I mean, what my dad taught me, it was just at a very early age, just to like keep my ears open to anything. So I never judged any kind of music. I was this crazy girl in high school and like junior high to like write down every single song that I heard on the radio. I waited like till the end to just like write down the names everywhere, and in my like pencil cases or everything, I still got them.
Wow.
Just to like collect music. I felt like if I have a song, it's mine. So I feel that kind of toxic attachment to music. Like if I hear this song and I give a meaning, it's mine. So at a very early age, I just felt throughout music something that nothing else gave me, not even painting or any other like art expression. So I don't know, I just felt it, like even like biologically in my body. And it was definitely throughout my dad. He like took the task of like, my daughter's gonna have a great taste in music. So my parents are divorced. So every like 15 days I saw my dad, and he brought me like all of these CDs, and this is what we're gonna listen to right now. So he just like kept me like fed with his music and his tastes. But my mom, what I acquired from my mom's taste, it was pretty natural. It was from the radio, like 95.3 solo música romántica. It was hers. So I was on the car like driving back from school, and she was playing that. And all of that is in my brain.
I'm imagining you taking these songs and seeing them almost as a way to find that ability to express yourself, right? Like, that was the thing, is you were like, I'm using other people's music, their lyrics, to tell my story.
I think that's what's most powerful about music, just to project each one's story in others, placing what's yours into somebody else's.
Rosas sobre el mantel que no te dicen nada, y yo derramando miel y tú me das la espalda. Y si te olvido, no estoy en posición para decidirlo, pero tanto te he callado que me mata, que me mata.
Like, what was the moment for you when you were then like, I'm actually just going to create my own?
I always knew I wanted to do that, but it took time to just, like, put it on paper, you know? I went to a couple of, like, musical classes. Nothing really sticked with me. I'm not a very, like, no soy muy disciplinada. I'm not, like, discipline. It's not part of me. I've been trying to make it part of me, but not really.
Really.
And I just came across in school with the right people, like people that loved music as much as I did, and we got to learn together, like from zero, like no foundation of anything, no Nepo babies anywhere. It was just like, okay, let's make music. Let's buy a laptop. Let's, like, this guy plays drums, so let's invite it to the. I had a Beatles cover band, mm-hmm. and that was my first band ever, and I don't really love the Beatles.
Okay.
But I mean, I was learning.
Yeah, controversial opinion.
Yeah, very controversial. I mean, I don't hate the Beatles. It's just not like my go-to. It was the only place where I could like actually learn. And then it just developed into a couple of other bands. And I just wanted to like learn.
We need to take a break and then we'll get right back to Ana's interview with Girl Ultra from Mexico City.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you. The day's top headlines, local stories from your community, your next podcast binge listen. You can have it all in one place, your pocket. Download the NPR app today.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
In that time, in those moments when you were initially starting to learn, how did it feel for you when you were in this initial time mm-hmm. of learning, uh-huh. right? How did that feel different than before when you had been using other people's music to express yourself? How did it sit with you?
I was confused. I didn't really actually knew who I was at the moment and what I wanted to say. So I kind of replicated a lot of things. I didn't even like wrote my songs in Spanish. So it was very hard to just like take the responsibility of like creating a language like within myself as a composer, as a person. And it took some years. So I can like actually say that I transitioned from being that listener into a creator.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was pretty interesting. I still feel that never it's completed, mm-hmm. like 100%. You're always like adding new stuff to your personality, to all of your experiences that you want to share. So I feel like it's never gonna end.
Por esos ojos negros yo morí. Y ahora que vuelvo a verlos reviví. Por esos ojos negros yo no vi. Que
that's so interesting to me that you started composing in English, because I think this city is diverse in many ways, including linguistically, what a lot of people might not realize. And so for you, why was that? Why do you think that initial expression was in English?
When I was like gaining like this musical criteria after like my parents and everything, when I started like downloading music like illegally, LimeWire and all that stuff, I was listening to a lot of like English music. So I felt like I practiced a lot like my English throughout that. And I don't know, it was easier to just articulate ideas when I was like writing in English, because I feel like you can complete an idea with less words in English. And Spanish is just a little bit more intricate, or I thought that at the moment. So I started doing that, and there was like kind of a trend in Mexican artists in that era, like the 2010, 2014, a lot of like English music in Mexicans. So I was like, okay, I might as well try it. And my first song is Girl Ultra was in English. And it sounded nice because it sounds nice. But it was like, what's the reason I'm singing in English? Like, I've never lived there. I mean, I've studied English like all my life. But I don't know, like I didn't feel like that kind of speech was part of me. Yeah. So I just, when I got signed in Finesse Records, I got together with this friend called Jesse Baez, that he also makes R&B in Spanish. He was one of the first. And I feel like that was like my university of the song.
Así, amor, no me digas no sé, no sé, no me digas que no hay razón, mi razón.
Because we started like writing in Spanish, he came from composing in English as well, and we started like just like trial and error. And I got back to like all of these baladas and all of these 95.3 music library, and really studying the way amor, like love, is sang in Spanish. So I just like got into like música en español, like really deep, like studying it, and I've been trying to like polish that language ever since.
Al amor salvaje, o no amar a nadie, perfuma las calles sin rumbo, sin nombre. Al amor salvaje, él no lo amarra a nadie, va dejando rastro al viajero en las noches.
Music that you were really into when you were younger, that you were kind of like saving, and was a lot of that in Spanish or was it in English?
It was a lot in English. I mean, I was an emo girl, so I was like blasting all of that, like Hawthorne Heights and Midwest emo, and I don't know, Taking Back Sunday, and I got into like indie, like really when it was like almost not almost dying, but I mean, like Santi Gold and LCD Sound System, all of that era, to me, is one of the best in music. It was pretty fun.
What I'm searching for, tell it straight, I'm trying to build a wall.
What were you listening to on your way here?
On my way here, I was listening to Santi Gold.
Oh my God, okay. So you always go back?
I always go back. I'm a nostalgic person, way more than I would like to. But I don't know, like, I'm, like, making a record right now, and I'm, like, going back to the 2010s a lot, like, to, like, how they used to, like, process drums, and everything was, like, super, like, crunchy, and I don't know, I like to make notes from different eras and then just, like, merge it together.
Yeah. Do you ever go back to like old records of your own or things that you made and get nostalgic about moments?
None of my own. Great. Once it's out, once the baby's been born,
yeah,
it's the world's, it's not mine.
And now you're looking to the next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's even like hard to go back like in like the discography and to see all these past versions of yourself. It's nice. It's nice to from time to time have a conversation with these girls. Mm-hmm. But I like to like move forward.
Yeah, when you look at that music, are you like, oh, that is Mariana of the past? Like,
that's not me anymore.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's even hard to just like translate some of these versions like live. Mm-hmm. When you have to like replay some of these songs that you don't connect anymore, I try to give them a new meaning, but it's just like hard to like keep them alive, like within you.
I won't tell you twice or more. Feelings always come and go. Si lo tienes, dámelo. I won't tell you twice or more. Feelings always come and go. Si lo tienes, dámelo.
A lot of what you obviously write about too is love and your experiences with love, and I think specifically really your experiences with love here. Do you feel as though growing up here, spending time here, living here, like the way that love happens here, the way that you've been loved here, has that impacted how you've written about it?
For sure. As I'm sitting here, I can see like all my todos los fantasmas, all the phantoms, and like it's pretty haunted in here from past versions of myself and my loves, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like I carry them around, and it's... this city's haunted in many ways, you know?
Mm.
And this city allows you to love very hard.
Yeah.
But when that love goes away, this city is very cruel and reminds you, like, everywhere, in every corner, that you loved, that you really loved.
How did you come up with the name Girl Ultra?
Well, I had this high school band and we all wanted to go solo. And I really felt like my regular name, I felt like I needed like a little bit of a superpower in the form of a new name. And I just like brainstormed like all of these like superheroine-ish words, and Girl Ultra came alive. Yeah, it just resonated with her. And I feel like it's just been evolving. I feel more of a woman instead of a girl now. But there's something, like, some freshness, some childness inside of me still. That I feel like, I still feel like I belong to that name.
Yeah. Do you feel like you'll ever reach a point where Mariana feels more right?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I cannot, like, picture myself being, like, 50 and being Girl Ultra.
Yeah.
Or maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I don't know.
Maybe you'll be 50 and it's not right, and then maybe you're 80 and it does feel right.
You know? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You said it.
More than not me. Voy a contarte hasta 10. Pues el sol que te alumbra, dos tus piernas que mandan, somos tres en tu cama. Morena mía, el cuarto viene después. Cinco tus continentes, seis las medias faenas de mis medios calientes. Sigo contando ahorita. Bien, 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 bien.
Obviously, Mexico, like this city, you know, people talk a lot about the ways that it's evolved, especially in recent years. A lot of gentrification, a lot of changes. Does it look very different for you from what it looked like when you were growing up here?
Yes. I mean, there's always been, like, some diversity in Mexico City, but the past, like, 8 years, maybe, I remember just, like, growing up in such a limited area. To me, La Colonia Roma was, I didn't even, like, step there when I was younger. So as I was growing up and I was, like, opening up my map, I used to walk everywhere. There was, like, not a lot of businesses and always a lot of movement, but it was kind of different. I'm not going to say that it's been 100% negative, like, all of this gentrification, because for us, I'm going to speak for myself, and, like, for artists here in Mexico City, it's just, like, a way to connect, and there's, like, some opportunity of, like, exchanging, like, work and ideas and music and whatever. But definitely there's been, like, some, como se dice, displacement, como desplazamiento, like, displacement of the people that actually, like, is the foundation of the city, you know? And it's sad to see.
Do you feel like, as someone who grew up here and started making music here and is so influenced by the sounds here, like, do you feel, I don't want to say pressure, but any kind of feeling of, like, oh, I am, like, a preserver of this in a way. Like, the music that I create is representative of what was.
Yes, in a way, because I carry all of that, like, legacy with me just because I'm Mexican and because my parents are Mexican and I've grew up here. But I also got to embrace that I'm a child from the internet. So how do you, like, match that conversation? Like, what you carry and what's in your blood and what you actually grew up listening and watching. Like, of course, I grew up watching, like, Nickelodeon, you know? But I also, like, used to, like, play, like, Canal 11, that it's, like, a local, like, university channel. And they used to do, like, these interviews, like, from Cristina Pacheco, that this is this Mexican journalist. And she used to, like, interview people from every neighborhood, like, about, like, normal things. And I got, like, so much, like, diverse information in my brain that I just cannot, like, take one way. It just feels honest to just stay in the middle.
What you mentioned at the beginning of this interview, where you were talking about, like, the darkness, the musically, and that lives in the city, do you feel like that's changing at all?
I feel like it's just becoming dark again. But, like, worldwide.
Yeah.
Like, emo is back, you know? It's just seasonal, but I don't know. When I listen to even, like, boleros and everything, there's a darkness to love, you know, to lust. It's a very lusty city. Mm-hmm. This city is always horny.
That's why they're horny, because they're sad.
Yes,
sad
horny and
music
sad.
Music makes you horny.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like this city is just, it's a her.
Yeah.
And it's a Virgo.
Oh my. And she's, like, in her power.
Yes. She owns it.
So, what do you think, Felix? Is Mexico City a Virgo?
That is an interesting question. I've never had to think about it that way. I'm not really sure what the characteristics of a Virgo is. I'm a Virgo. So.
Oh my God, Felix.
Yeah, I don't know.
This was made for you.
Am I
ancient? You in Mexico City, you have a special bond.
So I'm a Virgo. Am I ancient? Am I old? Am I set in my ways? Like, what is Virgo? What is Mexico City? I don't know. Don't answer that. You've been listening to Alt Latino from NPR Music. Our editor is Hazel Sills, and the woman who keeps us on track, keeps it all together, is Grace Chong.
Our audio producer for this episode is Saraya Mohammed, and our production assistant is Jerusalem Truth.
Thank you to our intern, Sofia Seidel, Pilar Galvan, and to our jefe in chief, Keith Jenkins, VP of Music and Visuals.
I'm Ana Maria Sayer.
I'm Felix Contreras. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.